You might like to open your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 15. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you again, your day, your time, God, to do that which is helpful and needful in our little lives, in the light of all of yesterday's, as we proceed into tomorrow. And our God, we thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Keep in mind, if you would, that you're here because God prepared a body for you, your mother and father, somewhere in time. And God put you in that body. That's why you're here. God put you in the body, and God's going to take you out of the body. The body stays here. Stays here. Now, keep that in mind. God is the creator. And before anything, including angels, were created, God saw all humans from Adam to the end of the millennium. He saw all humans. He had it all set up. No human was going to be born. That would be, knowing what's going to happen with Adam's sin and all of it. God knew all that. And therefore, in order to demonstrate his magnificence, his glory, he went and determined that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the earth, would have be the Savior, so that everyone that he saw from Adam all the way to the end of the millennium, God has a wonderful, wonderful plan, so they aren't going to come to earth unless they aren't going to land here on earth unless they need to, I shouldn't say unless, God has saved them. They need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lamb of God, Christ, is going to go to the cross and be crucified, and God has a wonderful plan for their life. We shared all of these things repeatedly lately to remind us what? That before, Ephesians 2:10 and that, before God, when God had everyone in mind, he had a wonderful plan for each person to fit in. Noah would fit in, Abraham would fit in, David would fit in, and here we are. And we're on planet Earth, whosoever that would believe. Now, having said that little bit, so God, you had a wonderful plan, and that's why you created us in your image and likeness, in order to enjoy your wonderful person. That's your plan. Awesome plan. So, when we're born and physically, we're able to come to know God is the Spirit of God, Romans chapter 1, is going to go and make sure everyone that's born in the middle of the Sahara Desert, no matter where it is, doesn't make any difference. God is going to make sure that they understand he's God, Romans chapter 1, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. God's going to make sure, God, he isn't trusting any human to do it. God does it. Therefore, having said that, so it's all about God's wonderful plan. That's why you're sitting there, able to sit there. Now, my question then, in the light of a little thought this morning, how many people do you know that want you to enjoy God's will and plan for your life? How many people, father, mother, brother, sister, how many people are even thinking about you when they think about you and they understand by themselves, knowing A, therefore I know others, God's wonderful plan for their life? Not just to get saved, to exceedingly enjoy God in Christ in you. How many people? Do you know that think like that about you? About you? Does your father, mother think about you like that? Who thinks about you? husband and wife? Do we think about each other like that? And so therefore, who thinks about it? God does. And the only one that thinks about it, apart from you understanding it, is God. So if you're out there waiting, think of your own little lives. What do you want for your life? How's that? Why are you here? Go to school, grow old, and do everything. Why are you here? What's the plan for your life? Well, I'm going to get this and do that. All right. And we proceed, keep planning, and like turning the pages as we did the other day, as we try to work out our earthly life. But then, ultimately, all the conditions that can happen to us humans, we're facing tomorrow. Well, what was it all about? Why did you live 40 years on earth? What was the whole purpose of it? Well, I got a job and I became the CEO of Joe's Sweatshop. No. God. So the only one that really cares is God. The only one that has a plan for your life and mine and all of us is God. And fortunately, God isn't dependent on you or me or anyone else to see that that plan happens. That's God's decision, and we just need to cooperate and believe and look to God. Now, the devil, as we shared this morning, that's the last thing he wants. Because if all people that are born got saved and they're less than angels, how that condemns the devil and all of his angels. It condemns them. They're already condemned. And why did God create Adam? All Adam had to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Genesis 3:15, believe the promise, put on the coats of skin, Genesis 3:20, 21. And they did all of that. The minute they did that, they confessed their guilt. The devil and his angels will not confess their guilt. They're guilty as can be, and they're condemned already, but they will not own up to it, and they're going to do everything possible to postpone, interfere, and change any of God's plans that puts them on the spot in the lake of fire coming up. So, having said that little bit, so only God, and the average us humans, not you guys so much, but us humans, we don't really care. We aren't really thinking about the wonderful plan God has for you in the middle of your ups and downs and easies and hearts. Now, so having said that, I have to line up with what God wants. That's what I'm trying. We shared this one. I have to understand what God is going to do is exceeding beyond the heavens, in the sense it is so beyond measure. You can't measure, literally. It surpasses, it superpasses anything you could understand of why God created you and why God saves you and why God had a wonderful plan for your life and why that plan goes into forever. Beyond. So God, you got it, but we need, the average Christian believer, they need to get it. Otherwise, we're plowing along, trying to survive and succeed and be everything that we try to do, and we lose out. So therefore, I'm trying to remind you and myself, there's an enemy. I have an old nature, and so do you. And that old nature is against what God wants. Romans 8, 6, 7, 8. It cannot please God. It will not please God. So if you're trusting yourself, I'll trust what I'm going to go for it. No, you can't, because your old nature hates it. But in your relationship to God, in Christ, God, that's what he wants. And that's what we're trying to line our heart up with. That's what God wants. And you want, I want, we want what God wants. And we have to roll up our sleeves to go get it. Otherwise, it isn't coming, because no one else is going to care. Come on. Be realistic. And we got to find our private life, our social life, our family life. We're trying to all find everything. And that's the trouble. We're too locked into all of that, which doesn't help us at all. When we're all done using the old illustration, playing Monopoly, you did everything with children and helped them and teach them and share with them and all of that. And then what? Here they are, young adults, etc. All over the place. What do they need? I understand all that a little bit. What they need is an understanding of God who created them. And when the little kid grabs hold of that understanding, you can run the whole race. But you got to have it. And say, well, no one ever told me. Well, then it's time we heard it. It's time we understood it. It's time we went after it. Therefore, John chapter 15, and you'll recall quickly, again, chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hate you, I said the Lord Jesus in the upper room, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before you. It hated you. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So what do we know? The world hates us. What's it hate? It hates wanting God's plan and God's will. Where did God's plan and God's will come from? The Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. That's where the salvation, that's where your creation came from, that's where your redemption came from, that's why you're here. Jesus Christ, God himself, makes it all work. There's no mechanics, there's no dreaming, there's no drifting and trying to figure something out, nothing to figure out. God is it. God's wonderful person, period. And God makes it all work. Now, having said that, John 17. Now, what did you do? You warned. You remember, we did it Wednesday, with Luke 22 and 32, the Lord Jesus said to Peter, Satan has desired to sift you and get you, to sift you as wheat, to get you sidetracked, Peter. And I pray that God will help you and strengthen the brethren. The devil wants you. The devil doesn't want anyone to accept, enjoy, exercise that relationship that God has made possible. The devil and his angels have forfeited it. And the devil wants you and me to forfeit it. And since he can't stop you being saved, what's the next thing? To keep you from living 10, 20 years of your life and never enjoy it. Never enter into it. Never get there. Now, John 17 and verse 14. I have given them thy word, the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil one, literally, the devil himself, the god of this world system. So, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, to 2 Corinthians. This is a large subject, so we're just sort of having to jump here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and you would recall and just in your memory and understanding, God would just, you remind us, when we, what do you require? Without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please me. He that cometh to me must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith. What do I require? John 6:29 and that. What can we do to work the works of God? Believe. What did you ask Adam and Eve? Believe. What was Cain to do? Believe. He wouldn't. Cain believed. Abel believed. Cain wouldn't. Didn't believe. In the days of Noah, Noah believed and the rest of them didn't. They didn't want to believe. God, what do you require? You require us to believe. Now, the devil is going to go, as you know, verse 3, 2 Corinthians 4:3, if our gospel be hid, the good news, and it is good news, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds, the mental thought capacity to understand, blinded the minds of them which believe not, they don't believe. Why don't they believe? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They don't want that to happen. They don't want, if they don't believe. Now what happens if you don't believe? You don't see. So the devil, to do anything, we read it this morning in Matthew 13:19 and that, what happens to all the Bible, we read the Bible and we pray and do everything, and the devil comes along and takes it away because it isn't relevant. It was relevant this morning at 10 o'clock, but on work day or something, but now I got to go to work, now I got to go to school, now I got to do these things, and now I got to do them. And what happened? It drifted right away. We don't even think about it anymore. So, if he can just get us humans not to believe, what? I'm a new creature in Christ. God has a wonderful plan for my life. My old nature is my arch ever-present enemy. Don't believe it. Don't believe that. No, you don't want to believe. You're all right. Compare yourself to the other people. Aren't you? There's always someone worse than us, you know. So, wow, you don't have to believe. Believe. Yeah, you do. We don't. Ah, the minute I don't, I can't see. Well, why can't you understand? Because you aren't believing. We did it this morning with forgiveness a little bit to remind you. It's a wonderful thing. That's how you get saved. Christ died on the cross. That's why the good news is for anyone. You don't go up and tell them how many bad things have you done. They need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved. And that's what they need to do. And when they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to get saved, they understand that's what God's asking. Why? He already died for them. He died for their sins from the day they were born to the day they die. Otherwise, you couldn't do it. You'd have to keep, like Roman Catholic or something, you'd have to keep going to Mass or something. You'd keep doing it over and over and over and over again to try to get, you don't have to do that. Christ did it all at once. He did it. That's why you can be saved. So I need to understand that God has forgiven me. Start to finish. I haven't even finished the day yet. And he's already forgiven me to tonight. I haven't even got to tonight yet. And he's already forgiven me. So if I'm going to practice that, if I practice that, God is forgiving me. Is forgiving me. So how am I going to go and not forgive anybody else? It doesn't mean anything's right or wrong. It just means I don't hold that. I don't want to have that. I can't. If I can't forgive you, I'm not enjoying being forgiven. Understand? If I don't forgive you, I'm not at that point enjoying being forgiven. If I understand being forgiven, period, I have to be forgiven. Why am I forgiven? Everyone's forgiven. And I understand. So I'm living with that. Otherwise, I'm not enjoying being forgiven. And it's an awesome thing to be forgiven, to practice that. You say, now, I know you guys and girls are all good. Is it all right to say guys and girls still? He's and she's. Okay. Get arrested. Wow. Now, so here we are, God, to be able to look to you and enjoy your wonderful person. And that's what we want to do. So therefore, verse 6, the light, if I don't believe, I'm not gonna see. That's the whole point. And therefore, when I don't believe, I don't see. But I love the Lord, but you don't believe. You need to be, we've said it, people. I remember when I was on the different committees nationally and stuff, and I would say, you need to be a believing believer. Believer isn't enough. You need to be a believing believer. Because believers aren't always believing. They aren't appropriating all the stuff that he's made possible. They aren't believing. We need to be believing believers. That's what we need to do. And therefore, verse 6, we need to get saved. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. For what reason? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? In the face of Jesus Christ, who you received as your Savior. And that's what God... Verse 3, blinded the minds of them. They don't... Verse 3 and 4, so that we can't see. But when I receive Christ as my Savior, it's so that I can see. And as I trust him, then I'm going to go. Verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, reason that the excellency, the superabounding wonderfulness of the power may be of God and not of us. So we're to enjoy an awesome relationship based on God's wonderful person and his presence. But we need to believe. Therefore, over to 2 Corinthians 11. And in 2 Corinthians 11, you would recall, and in 2 Corinthians 11, may I pick up, please, verse 3. But I fear, Paul was concerned for the Corinthians, believers, they weren't believing as they should. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent, Genesis 3:1, etc., beguiled, that means to fully deceived. He fully deceived Eve. That's why she went. And then she fully got Adam to do the same thing. Believe. Eve beguiled Eve through the subtlety, his trickery, his dishonesty, his tricks, his conduct tricks us. Sorry, traps, tricks us. That's what it is. Hang on, try to get there. That's what he does. And what tricks us? How's he tricked? How did he trick us? Verse 3. So your minds should be corrupted. And you lose. You don't see, you don't understand. You got it crooked instead of straight. Corrupted from the simplicity, the singleness, the single-heartedness that is in Christ. Single-hearted. Yoke made this morning, so you understand. It's an awesome thing. The yoke, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Do you understand? I don't make some weird thing to do. God is always right, and God is always reasonable. Always. We're the ones that we lose it. God doesn't do that. God's very conscious. He isn't going to put on top of you a 500-pound load when 5 pounds is enough. And if God does want to put 500 pounds, and he could, you're going to carry it. God will make you think of the word, study of the word shoulders in the Bible. The shoulders to carry the load. Wow. Now, so having said that, God, you're going to take, we're going to lose what? The simple-hearted relationship. God's our Father. Son, Father. Child, Father. That's it. That's pretty simple. Wonderful. Easy. Uh-huh. Over, if you would, to chapter 11. And in chapter 11, picking up, please, in verse 4. Minds corrupted, we read verse 3, now verse 4, in chapter 11. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Now, God, now what are you after, Paul? Because, verse 13, for such are the false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So they aren't coming across that if the devil would just come across as he is, no one would believe him. No one would do it. We ain't going to come across. I wish you had all this thing. The devil, the only devil I ever seen is on the devil's food can. Do you remember devil's food? Devil's food, a little, the devil's food. Well, that's a devil. If the devil came across, like the movies do sometimes, all of a sudden the nice, sweet little old lady is a 25-foot giant that looks awful. Wow. Wow. No. So, God, what are we doing? You're going to go and help us. And they aren't going to come like that. Verse 14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Darkness, he hates light, but he uses it. Tricks, the bait, we shared it this morning. All kinds of bait, tricks to catch people in this world. So we lose it. We lose it. What's wrong with it? You lost it. You lost your first love. You lost your relationship. You got sidetracked. What's wrong with it? Nothing. Except you had to leave the simplicity and the lineup, your lineup in the wonderful plan of God for your life to bear testimony to his awesome person. You lost it. Now, and so therefore, verse 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, servants, also be transformed as the ministers, servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Righteousness, light, everything, apostles. Boy, you got to stay in your toe. You bet you do. It's the devil's world. It's the God of this world. It's his world, his system. We're us humans. We make the world system in our old nature. We make it. That's why it's what it is. And we're caught in it. And the devil uses it and catches us and keeps us. Slaves, bondage. See if we can get there fast. Over if I can, in God's wonderful movement to help us to learn, to grow, to know. And you know, without turning there with all those different things, the devil is going to go and he's going to go and have a temple built in Jerusalem coming up. He's going to be worshipped in that temple and everything, all the Antichrist and all of those different things. Now, so in the process, the net, what was the net? Net for Bible in the net. It's for hunting, for fishing. Hunting to fish, and that's to trap, to trick. And God, the devil, uses it, human appetites. The human appetites, we got them. And God, and he uses them. And therefore, like Peter said it, we shared it earlier, Luke 22:32, the devil desires to get you, to sift you as wheat. Peter, what are you going to say in Peter? Don't you understand? The devil is a roaring, 1 Peter 5. The devil is a roaring lion, seeking whom he can swallow. Not he isn't going to chew. He's going to swallow it down. The devil's doing that. Peter, did you know it? Absolutely. I already been there, said Peter. And you guys are facing it. And we're facing it. We're at the end of the church age. So, wow. Therefore, over to Philippians. And in Philippians, if I can, in chapter 3. And you will notice, please, Paul is telling us to walk carefully, to pay attention to whom we walk with. Without getting into that, friends, you need, I understand all those things. I do. We're human and social and all those things. But my little journey and yours, know what? What have we discovered? That's trickery. I got to be careful. Because the friends, if I don't have someone running the same race with me, I'm going to be careful how much I'm going to go with them. You say, well, what about my social life? It isn't about your social life. It's about God's wonderful work in your life. And it isn't whether you had married and have 15 children. How's that? It isn't about that. Oh, but it isn't. No, it isn't. It's about your relationship to God. If God wants you to have 25 children, that's fine. But that isn't the issue. You're looking for God. And God will take you down that, but you have a single heart. We just read it. 2 Corinthians 3, 11:3. Single-hearted. You've lost what it's about. And everything else comes. The world isn't going to go. The world isn't happy. People with old natures, us humans, we aren't going to compliment God. We aren't going to encourage God in your life. Our old nature will never encourage you. God will, and as we trust God, he will. Philippians chapter 3:18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping. Why? That they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. But what about us? Yes, I don't want to get caught up. I don't want to lose. What? Verse 20, for our conversation, our manner of life, is in heaven, from whence also we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change the vile, most humbled body we live in of dust. Change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. God's wonderful, wonderful working. Now, having said that little bit, we don't want to be friends with the world. The world isn't friends with God. It's an enemy of God. The world system is. And we don't want to love the world. Demas loved the world and took off. And we don't want to love the world. That's what Eve said. Eve said, I saw the tree. It looked good for fruit. It looked good for your thing. And then I had all the big. I'd be wise like God. And she was deceived. And you have the same thing in 1 John chapter 2, 15, 16, 17. The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, etc., etc. What you see, we're caught. It's the same old formula, same old tricks, the same old everything. Well, it isn't that. You don't want to be that serious. Well, why not? God's pretty serious, isn't he? Are you, silly question, are you happy if God isn't serious about your life? How about if God is casual? You know, oh yeah, there's 7.75 billion people on earth or whatever. And I remember that guy. Where does he live in East Venezuela? No. God is very concerned. He's very serious. It cost him his son. In fact, he said, when I'm coming, I'm going to exercise wrath. Once this period of grace ends, God's exercising wrath on the world. You think God doesn't care. Wrong. God cares. So therefore, if you would, over in your Bible, or to pick it up now, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes in chapter 9. And you'd recall when we did Ecclesiastes. And you may pick it up directly in the light of verse 11. And looking out, Solomon's looking out at the people and success and everything. I returned and saw the under the sun, planet Earth, that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. Well, everyone has their plans. Everyone has what they want. Everyone's going to do. They're all doing it all over the world, politically and every other which way. All of it's taking place. We're all doing, and they all have it. Next statement, verse 12. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare. So are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. And everyone's going down the corridor doing what they're doing without God, and they don't understand what's going to happen tomorrow. They think the pages, they have them. No, they don't. No, they don't. It's coming to an end. A collision course with God. You don't want to do that. So therefore, over if I can, in the light of that, over to Psalm 35. And let's go back to David as a help. Psalm 35. May I pick up, please, in thought, if I can, here's David. Remember David, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, etc. In chapter 35, going to verse 7, David. For without cause have they hid for me their net. David's trying to get through everything in the valley of the darkness, evil and everything. Verse 7. For without cause they have hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Verse 8. Let destruction come upon him unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. In other words, David said, I'm always out there, I gotta watch the traps and the tricks. Just think of the awful thing it is when the enemy sets a minefield, and you got to go through a minefield, and that's no picnic, as some of you know, to go through the minefield and just hit the wrong piece of ground, and boom, there it goes, and you don't know where they are, you don't know how close they are, so you got to get through anyway. You don't all that. Minefield, nets. Now God, David, we're in the world. The world's going to hate you. We read John chapter 15. The world isn't happy. So the world's going to do everything. The devil in charge of the world is going to go and do all kinds of things to trick and trap and catch us in the nets. Now David, David had his things with all different things. There's no question. But God kept him. He looked and recovered and kept going. Over, if you would, please. Over in the light of that. Chapter 25. Psalm 25. Again, David. Wonderful. Verse 11. For thy name's sake, 25:11. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. No question. God, that's why you died on the cross, to forgive us all our sins. Our old nature's busy, busy, busy. Verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Now God, we share that 100 times over the years, in the process, God's going to teach. You want to learn. Remember, we read it in Matthew 11 and 29. Get your learning from me. Learn from my yoke. I want you to be educated, have an understanding, to bring into your experience God's wonderful person and plan for your life. And therefore, God, you're going to teach us in the way that you choose. That's right. Now, God, everyone, you got to help us. Why couldn't we just be, we're adopted sons, literally, in God's plan? And so why can't we just sit at the table and enjoy everything? Well, because God's changing us to be like his son. We're saved, and God wants us to learn to trust his son so that we change, that we're changing. We think differently, we feel differently, we act differently about everything. We do. Now, so David, your God's going to teach the way you should choose. And Jeanette was telling me that, and in the process I said something, and she said, yeah, God just teaches us, God loves us and gives everything. I said, that's right. And if you need patience, God's going to put you through the mill so you learn patience. Wouldn't it be nice? God, I want to be strong. He's going to help you get weak. God said, I'm going to help you. Father, good father, loves his children. He's going to help us to grow. Well, why can't I just? Because it isn't that way. You've got to learn. Wow. Therefore, verse 13, his soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes, verse 15, are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. The devil's got all kinds of nets. The devil doesn't make, nets don't go away. The tricks don't go away. The old nature doesn't go away. The world system doesn't go away. Evil doesn't go away. Darkness doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. We live in it. God, so the nets are there. And we, God, how are we going to do it? We got to look to you. Otherwise, I can't see the minefield. I can't see the nets. They're tricky. So God, I got to keep looking to you for you to, remember, turn the pages to outwork your will, because I'm going to get caught. And God said, all right, you just trust me and we're going to go. The nets are there. Hang on. The nets are there. Verse 15 again, mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. So that's an awesome thing. That's right. Now, over if you would please, over to Psalm 31. David again. Help us some more. Psalm 31, I'm picking up, if I can, in verse 3. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have privily laid for me. The net isn't obvious. The trick isn't there. It's a baited trick. Privily for me. For thou art my strength. God, I'm looking to you. I'm going to look to you. And I'm going to find my feet in the net, and you're going to have to rescue me time and again. We confess our sin, and he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us. So we put it to work. Aha, a net. Oh, God, I said the wrong thing. I did the wrong thing. Some stupid things you do. Not you guys, of course. We confess us. I'm not going to let it catch me. No, sir. Fast. Jump on it. I shouldn't have done that. I do that, you know. Wow. Now, so therefore, verse 5, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. And you remember what we did? Verse 15. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hands of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. And we share together the whole thing. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. And we share that, God's wonderful smile. God's happy to be God. Does what he does. Wow, and a wonderful thing. Psalm 66. So then that's there, and it doesn't mean you don't get tricked, trapped, and fall. It's just you don't stay trapped. You don't stay tricked. You learn from it. And you're a little carefuler in what you say, a little slower in what you do. And eventually it catches you. Psalm 66. May I pick up, please, sliding down. Oh, Psalm 66 and verse 11. Thou broughtest us into, well, I have to read verse 10. For thou, O God, hath proved us, thou hast tried us, put us to the test, as silver is tried, like in the furnace, to separate the dross. Verse 11. Thou broughtest me, us, into the net. God, you allowed the net to be there. I did. It's the God of this world. I told you they hated you. And they're out to trap you and trick you. I'm not making the world go away. I'm not making the traps go away. I'm not making the evil go away. I'm not making the darkness go away. It's all there. And you have to be in it. And you're going to have to work through it. We have a wonderful plan for your life to go down the corridor to do it. And therefore, God, in verse 11, if thou broughtest into the net, thou layest affliction upon our soul, loins, God. We have to feel it. We have to fumble through it. We have to get the diseases and problems and work problems and home problems and every kind of thing. And we got to work through them because everyone else is. It's part of the world system we live in. And the new world system that we're living in is going to be even more difficult. And with God, all kinds. So we got to learn how to live through this thing. So therefore, verse 12, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Now, God, you let us go, and that's how we learn. The word wealthy means saturated, well-watered. It's without turning the age, no time. Jeremiah 31. God satiates the soul. That's the word. Watered. Satiates. The sponge goes in the water and is totally full of water. So if you pick it up, it's dripping all over the place. It's satiated. God, how did I ever get that in my little heart? I went through the nets and the water and the fire and the dumb things, and I'm learning. Your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Uh-huh. Now, so having said that, verse 13. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay my vows. Sliding down to verse 16. Come and bear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Now, if I ask you that, ask the person, what has God done for your soul? Not for your heart and not for your anything, for your soul. What would you say? What is God doing for your soul? For your heart? That's a good question. Nothing wrong with that one, is it? What's God doing in you? Well, no, I go to church, good. What's God doing inside your life? It's a real wonderful thing. Now, so God, come, I'll tell you what God's doing in my soul. Wonderful things. I hate myself for all the things I do wrong. But God keeps us. Well, you know. I cried unto him, verse 17. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Bear me, hear me, God. So I'm looking to you, God, to get us. Therefore, God, here we are, trying to get a handle on it all. And the whole thing, without adding to the everything to this, the Lord Jesus Christ, John 10:9, he's the door. And you go through the door. What are you going to find when you go through the door? Pasture. What do sheep need? Safe pasture. Provision. God's wonderful. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. God, here we are. And God, what are you going to do? Well, God's going to go in his most wonderful way. And God is going to go and help us as we proceed down the corridor of time. And in the process, he's the door to the shepherd. He's the sheep. He's the shepherd of the sheep. And we go through, and God, he's the way, the truth, and the life. So as we journey, the nets, the troubles, everything there, we have to keep adjusting so we're lining up. Don't want to lose the simplicity. Don't lose the relationship under the yoke. Under the yoke. I don't want to lose it. I don't want to lose it in the name of anything, anyone. And therefore God, having said that, and then you put together all the things we looked at lately, God said, I'll bless you. I'll bless you going in. I'll bless you going out. You don't have to ask for my blessing. I give it to you. Blessing. That means I'm going to do what I said I would. When I bless you, I'm going to do what I said I would for you. We want God's blessing. Wonderful blessing. So God, here we are going, and God, you're going to bless. That's right. I'll bless you going in, bless you going out. We did all those things. I don't want to lose them. All these pieces, I hope hanging on to some of them. Wow. Now, so therefore, Galatians. And in the book of Galatians, chapter 1. And in Galatians in chapter 1, you would recall, A, you can't lose your salvation if you're saved. In other words, you can't tell Christ to leave your heart. You're already bought with a price. You can grieve the Spirit of God something fierce, but she won't quit. And you'll pay for it. You'll pay for it. No question. No question. Demas, I'm sure, paid for it. Now, in the process, so God, what's Galatians? Galatians says, listen, you guys, the whole dumb system, Judaism, the world system, is trying to keep you tricked and trapped and keep you from ever having anything. A, by another gospel, just quickly. Verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, another good news. And we're trying to look at the good news to understand it. I don't want to pick up the stupid news out there that isn't even true. About church and God and Christ, it isn't even true. Verse 7, which is not another, but there is some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ, the good news. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And so that the responsibility up here or down there or anywhere, that's an awesome thing. I think it is. It's no flippant little thing. No, sir. Therefore, here's the gospel, chapter 3. What are you going to say? What else? Chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Wow. Verse 2. And this only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith, believing. Verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit of God? That's how you got saved. God did it. And God has to keep doing it. Are you so foolish? Verse 3. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh, your old dumb nature? No, your old nature will kill it. Will kill it in the name of being good. Being good, we're good Christians. Yeah, goody, goody. good Christians, you know. Wow. So God, here we are, chapter 4. What's the need for you, dear believers out there in Galatians? My little children, verse 19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. You lost your relationship. Don't lose it. And so Paul said, I'm trying to help you get back on target, back on track, get where you need to be so you enjoy the trip. It's a special super-duper trip that's not like anything of this world, and you don't even want to try for that. Now, having said that little bit, over to chapter 5. Chapter 5, and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with Christ, where Christ hath made us free, free, not bondage. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You get tied up in yourself. I'm going to do better. I'm going to work on it. I'm working at it. Baloney. You can't do it. Not going to happen. Not by works of righteousness. No, God, you have to help us. Without you, can't do it. No, we can't. And therefore, chapter 5, and going to verse 7. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? They lose it. You say they lost it. That's why we're at the end of the church age, Revelation chapter 3, 15, 16, 17, 18. Will I find truth when I come? No. Nope. Why not? You left it. Wow. So here we are looking in God's wonderful grace. And we should be running, walking in the light, running the race. We should be doing it. Wow. Now, having said that little bit then, in the light of that, over to chapter 6. And in verse 13. For neither they themselves are circumcised, keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. In other words, to get you to do things that they don't. That's what the system is now. Everything you do, we don't have to do. I tell you, you guys can't do this, but we can all do it with no problem. That's our system that we're living in. Now, verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The world looks at me, and they see me ashamed. What did they do? How did the world see God? They crucified him. How does the world see believers? They hate him. Crucify him. What is a crucified? If a Roman citizen could never be crucified, because it was against the law, so what? Here's the crucifixion. Shameful death. Shameful. Crucified. Paul said, they see me as crucified. And I, said Paul, I see them. When Christ died on the cross, he crucified them. He judged them. And the summons is there. They're all going to have to report at the great white throne judgment to him. All going to have to report. That's what they're going to have to do. So God, here we are looking. So therefore, we want to, Hebrews in closing chapter 12. And in Hebrews chapter 12, I hope you got a little bit. You got to stay with it. Everything's against you winning. Other believers they aren't excited about you running the race. No, they aren't. No offense. The people don't care. They got the things they have to do, and they fit in wherever. That's the way it is. We're very casual. Not very excited. Hebrews chapter 12, you remember. Wherefore, seeing also, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Verse 1. Let us lay aside every weight, anything of unbelief that would kill us, that blind us, that keep us off track. We'll get feet caught in a net and we can't get out of them. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience, bearing up under the load the race that is set before us. And that's what we're going to do. And I'm going to do it, God. Did you do it? Uh-huh. Am I going to do it inside of you? I am. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, what we're trusting in. God, we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What are we going to do? He did it, you do it. That's what you got. That's what you got. It isn't a picnic. It isn't meant to be a picnic. It's meant to be a testimony to a world that is coming to judgment. And God's giving it a little space with whosoever's out there that show light, all ones, one, all same body, same light, same. So there's no confusion at all here. So God, that's what we're looking for. And therefore, we'll pray. And in the process, you have to turn there, Isaiah 40. God, and you shall run, and you shall walk, and you will exchange your weakness for my strength. And you, and the weak and the young and the old can't do. No. The weak and the young are going to trust themselves. But as you trust me, you're going to walk and not be weary. You're going to run and not faint. And that's what I want. And so you can mount up, as we sang this morning, on wings as eagles. And no one else can run this race and enjoy this trip like you guys can. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. Thank you, thank you, thank you very, very, very much. God, we're just going for it. So help us to do so and give us the understanding that we can withstand the wiles of the devil, God. He doesn't want us to have any of this. And unless we put on the whole armor of God, God, we're going to get clipped. So we're going to look to you, God, to cover us with your wonderful grace. And the peace, your peace, which passes all understanding, shall mount God in our heart. And God, we're going to go down the corridor of time. Help us very much. Thank you very much. Give safety, encouragement. Help the people that are sick, that are weak, that can't get out and don't get out. God, encourage them. And we'll thank you in it all, for Christ's name, in Christ's name, amen.